You're listening to the Gulam Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussain Kamani. Gulam is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit gulaminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi mustafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-athiya amma ba'd. There's a narration from Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, one day we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were about to start our Dhuhr Salah. And right when we started our Dhuhr Salah, we noticed that in front of us, in the direction of the Qibla, the enemy were standing there. And the enemy were waiting, and they were looking at us, kind of like in shock, that what are these guys doing? Then one of them said to the other that this is something they love more than their own family members and their own kids. This is the perfect time to attack them while they're in prayer. And while this conversation was happening, the Muslims meanwhile wrapped up their salah. After they finished off their Dhuhr prayer, they engaged in war and they were fighting one another. When Asr salah time came, the enemy once pulled back and they said, now it's time for them to pray. And when they start their prayer, as soon as they put their weapons down and they start their prayer, we're going to attack them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered the companions to line up. And it was Asr Salah time, and right when they were about to start their prayer, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, don't pray like this. Because by praying like this, you're giving an opening to your enemy, your enemy is going to come and attack you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then asked Jibreel alayhi salam, how should we pray then? We still have to pray our salah. So Jibreel alayhi salam then tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is now a special method of prayer while in the battlefield called Salatul Khawf. Jabir radiallahu anhu in another narration himself says that prior to this revelation, for 6 years we had fought with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every time we prayed in the battlefield, we were always at risk. But it was in the 7th year when this revelation came down during the battle of Dhatul Riqa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the companions a very unique instruction on how to pray in the battlefield with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how would this happen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would start the prayer. The Sahaba would break into two groups. One of them would fight the enemy, the other group would pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would pray one rak'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the second sajda, the group that was praying with the Prophet would go and fight the enemy, and those people would come and join. And then they would pray one rak'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After their first rak'ah was over, now they would swap again. That group would go there and fight, this group would come here and pray. And like this, till the end of the prayer, each group has prayed how many rak'ah? Two. Group A has prayed two, Group B has prayed two, and after praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then group A would come and finish off their remaining two rakat, and then group B would come and finish off their remaining two rakat. A very interesting model of Salatul Khawf. Scholars have taken different perspectives on it. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, he was very famous for having the opinion that this particular method of prayer is only with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not after that. In today's day and age, if there was a war and it was time for prayer, you would make two separate jama'ats. You won't split the prayer up. You'll have jama'at A with an imam while those guys are defending, and then these guys would go over and jama'at B would come and pray. You won't necessarily need to share one imam. The reason why this prayer was prescribed, according to Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayh, he says the reason was because both groups were eager to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No one was willing to sacrifice the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, let's make a deal, let's split it up. You pray one rakat, you pray one rakat, you pray one rakat, you pray one rakat, and then you guys can make up the remaining two rakats on your own. This is a very beautiful story and a very beautiful incident, and the ayah is revealed for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayah, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْتَكُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِن وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. And throughout the prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cautioning the companions, while you're praying, don't put your weapons down. Hold on to your weapons in prayer as well. Don't put them on the ground. Be on guard, because the enemy, even though there is one party defending, the enemy can still come and attack you. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, there is another narration recorded from him. He says, during one battle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a battle, and after the battle had settled down, both sides had parted, and it was as if the Muslims were more or less victorious in the battlefield. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kind of went to the side to relieve himself. And as he went to a place that was secluded, there was a little hill that came between him and the Muslims. The Muslims were on the other side, the army was there. The Prophet, while searching for a secluded place, had come to the other side of a hill. There was a person by the name of Ibn al-Harith al-Muharibi. He had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alone, and he was an enemy. So he snuck up on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he took his knife and pointed it right at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was down, and he was on top, and he was pointing a knife at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he made a very interesting statement. He said, "Man yamna'uka minni? Who will save you from me today?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can just imagine with what kind of heart he must have responded. He doesn't have to fight back with kung fu or tai chi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds back by saying, "Allah." As soon as he says Allah, that person, Ibn al-Harith al-Muharibi, he begins to shake. His sword drops, he falls down. The Prophet picks up the sword, stands on his neck and says, "Man yamna'uka minni? Now who will save you from me?" And he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "Your mercy will save me." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, "I will forgive you if you read the Shahada." He said, "No, I won't read the Shahada." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, "Okay, you can go." Now, for those people who say Islam was forced, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him an opportunity because he just saw the power of Allah before his eyes. His sword fell and everything just slipped over. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't execute him for that. He said, "Okay, you can go." He then stood up and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I won't believe in you, but I will go back and tell every person I know of how you dealt with me and what happened here today." And he went back and told his people, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, at the end of that narration, says many of his friends actually ended up accepting Islam. So, from this narration, which we learn again from a battle standpoint, you should never let your guard down, never let your weapon down, always be on the defense in case the enemy has to attack you. And this is what this ayah is talking about. Now, as the ayah continues on, in the next verse, verse number 102 and 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Once you have finished your prayer. Now this is an important point here to notice. The Muslims are being instructed to pray salah while they're in the battlefield. A lady that is giving birth, until she delivers, she is still instructed to pray salah. So what about people like you and I? What can our excuse be that our alarm didn't go off? Will this excuse work with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, there are people that are fighting in the battlefield and even they are not excused from prayer. A lady is giving birth, even she is not excused of prayer. So what little excuse can we put in front of Allah saying that we've missed our prayers? Salah is something we must be punctual with. There are certain things that we cannot sacrifice. Certain things we may wobble a little in. But when it comes to our prayer, this is one of the most important things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the next verse, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. When you have finished off your prayer, now what do you do? فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِكُمْ. Now engage in the remembrance of Allah. So after you finish off your salah, when we finish off our Taraweeh prayer and we're heading back home, you shouldn't think I'm now absolved of remembering Allah. I've already done enough of it. Allah is saying no. Once you finish off your prayer, the salah was a greater form of remembering Allah. Now engage in the remembering of Allah in the smaller form. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La'id. Keep your tongue engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And Allah said, remember Allah while you're standing, while you're sitting, while you're lying down. Think about this for a second. What are the three physical positions a human being can be in? What are they? Either you're standing, either you're sitting, or you're lying down. Allah addresses all three. فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا. Remember Allah while you're standing. وَقُعُودًا. And while you're sitting. وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِكُمْ. And even after that, Allah says, even when you're lying down, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Aisha radiallahu anha says, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always in the remembrance of Allah. He had a dua for everything. When he sat down to eat, he had a dua. When he was eating something sweet, he had a dua. When he drank water, he had dua. When he drank milk, he had dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dua for the middle of the meal, for the end of the meal. Washing the, you know, every single aspect of the Prophet's life, there was a dua attached to it. He was always engaged in the remembrance of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't finish off the verse there. He says, after you've established prayer, remember Allah while standing, while sitting, while lying down. فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Then after you're content with remembering Allah, Allah says, then get up and pray salah again. فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Get up and go pray again. Then Allah says after that, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَقْبُوتًا. That indeed prayer has been established in a fixed time. Every salah must be prayed in its fixed time. You can't move the salah from its fixed time. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith al-bab, the narration in this regard, regarding the prayer time, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. He said to the companions, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he led me in two days, two full cycles of prayer. He led me in Fajr Salah. And in Fajr Salah, the time starts from the break of dawn until the rise of the sun. Then he says, Jibreel alayhi salam then led me in Dhuhr Salah, after the sun passed its zawal, after it passed the zenith, until each object's shade becomes its equivalent. And then after Dhuhr Salah, he then led me in Asr Salah. And then Asr Salah time, after that he led me in Maghrib Salah, when the sun was setting. And then وَإِذَا غَابَ الشَّفَقْ, and then when the light and the horizon disappeared, he then led me in Isha prayer. That was one day. The second day, Jibreel alayhi salam did everything the same, minus Asr prayer. When it came to Asr prayer, the second day, Jibreel alayhi salam, he led the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer, when the shadow of each object was double. Hence the Hanafi position, we delay the Asr prayer 45 minutes. Right? In the Shafi'i position, they usually pray 45 minutes earlier. It's important for us to know how to pray Salah without being dependent on a timetable. To be able to look into the sky and see, okay, now it's Fajr time just started. The sun is rising, Fajr just ended. The sun just moved from its zenith. I'm standing here, I have no shade, which means the sun is directly above me. If the sun moves from its zenith, I have a shadow now, Dhuhr time just started. I'm standing here right now, I'm 6 foot tall, my shadow is 6 foot. According to the Shafi'is, Asr just started right now. I'm 6 foot, my shadow is now 12 foot. According to the Hanafis, Asr time just started right now. Sun setting, Maghrib just started right now. After the sun sets, there is a redness that spreads on the horizon. After the redness disappears, now according to majority of the scholars, Isha time has started right now. According to some Hanafi scholars, Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, after the redness, a whiteness comes in the sky and that also disappears. That's when Isha time starts. So now, you know, Isha time has started. And then Isha time lasts all the way until Fajr. So now you can open the window while you're sitting in the plane and figure out which Salah time it is simply by eyeing it. And that's a skill that you must all have, because Salah is prescribed in its fixed times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be punctual with our prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our salah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.